And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Suzanne Falter with us. We're going to take your calls as we talk about really the strange things of what might be happening on the other side and how it affects your life today. And George Norrie back with you along with Suzanne Falter. And Suzanne, with your book, The Extremely Busy Woman's Guide to Self-Care, what is the extremely busy woman? What is she?
Well, she is a woman who is caught in about six different hard places simultaneously. Most extremely busy women are trying to make other people happy. You know, I have this little Facebook group for these gals, and when they come on, I always ask them, what's your biggest self-care challenge? Every single one of them says, I can't make time for myself because I'm so busy taking care of everyone else. That's the first piece. Another thing about these women is that they really want to do a good job. So they're in overproduction mode all the time. And they don't realize it. They're doing way more than good enough. They're doing over-the-top fabulous when good enough would be really good enough. They're also confusing doing with being powerful. Now, I totally was guilty of this through this whole period of overwork I went through for the first 30 years of my professional life. I just was caught in thinking if I was super busy, I was making things happen. But often we're super busy doing a bunch of stuff that isn't even that consequential. Or we're doing stuff that supports something we're not even ultimately that interested in. But we're so busy, we don't even know we're not interested in it. We've become disconnected in the rush to accomplish, push, and strive. Does that make sense?
What do you think some of the biggest challenges are that face women and men nowadays?
Well, I do think being honest is very hard for people. You know, I think women and men probably suffer, maybe in different ways, but to this basic idea that if you don't like how something is going on, you can't say because you don't want to hurt someone's feelings. Or perhaps you feel like being direct is not going to get you what you want. But when we're honest with people, we create more intimacy. We create more connection. We create a healthier dynamic where we can actually talk stuff through. Remember talking things through? It's often in our current state of the world that we just kind of have to throw our will at things and expect them to go our way. But what about sitting down and reasoning things out?
People don't do that anymore.
Pardon me?
They text.
Exactly. I mean, this is what's real interesting in our current state of affairs in this culture, because we have become shorthand for everything. Our attention spans have shrunk commensurately. You know, we're leaking our power all over the place because we're not fully present to anything. It's the old Thiel message, just be. Who knew how profound that actually is?
And with Thiel, you said she's still communicating, but is she still giving you messages?
Oh, well, you know, it's really interesting. The messages come in different ways. I'll tell you, when I was really trying to figure out exactly what the healing work should be, it was about 3 years ago, and I was like, oh, come on, I still don't have clarity. I got to give me some sort of clarity. What is it? She said to me, it was like a little voice whispering in my ear, clean out your inbox. Now, I was like, are you kidding me? Clean out my inbox? But I, you know, and I had moved a lot, so I had this inbox that was stacked up about 8 inches high. You know, I have a home business.
With
right?
Stuff.
Just stuff, exactly. But I spent that whole afternoon taking everything out of that inbox, every last little, no, it's not this, and it can't be that, and old receipts and papers and bills and what have you. Finally, the last piece of paper on the very bottom of the inbox was a letter Thiel had written me the last Christmas of her life. And in it, she spoke about how she had visited a healer. And the healer told her that she was not supposed to have a contentious relationship with me in this lifetime, but we were supposed to be partners. And in fact, we were supposed to be leaders in light together. I mean, it was just such a boost of encouragement it was such a boost of confidence to me at a moment where I was just grasping at straws. You know, you better believe I framed that letter and it's on my wall.
Let's take some calls here for you. Joe in the Bronx to get us started. Hello, Joe.
George, how are you?
Okay, good to hear from you.
Thank you. Good to be listening tonight. Susan, yeah, I wanted to ask you concerning loneliness. Have you experienced loneliness since your daughter passed? And what is your suggestion or remedy for loneliness? And you have her music. George plays emerging artists. I think it's the first Sunday of every month. Maybe, you know, some of her Teal songs could be played on this program.
I would do that.
Oh, George, I'm going to connect with you about that.
Yeah, definitely get us a CD or something. And
that's beautiful. Well, thank you for that really excellent question, because I think that's a really big issue.
Matter of fact, I'm on this Sunday coming up, Suzanne, so if
okay.
you can get us to us quick. Well, Tom said he's already got them done. Next, we'll do it for March.
Beautiful. I'd
okay.
love to do that. Thank you so much. So,
he'll get to you.
To answer the question about loneliness, I love this question because it's such a common thing. And during the first 2 years after her death, I was not in a relationship. I was lonely. I didn't feel I had friends, and I was living in a state that I had only lived in for a couple of years and really hadn't settled into yet. So I was very lonely, quite a lot. And what I began to do was go out and ask for help. It's like so counterintuitive, because when you're lonely, you just want to kind of hunker down by yourself in a strange way. I don't know if this makes sense, but my impulse was to, put my head under the covers and kind of get in fetal position and really go lonely.
And that's understandable.
Right. Well, yes, of course, because I was grieving as well. But in general, I have often felt like that. But I had to force myself to go join some groups. And one of the groups I joined was a group for people who are grieving the death of their children. I mean, there are affinity groups of every kind in this world. And when I began to go into these groups and show up and be vulnerable and say, I am grieving, I am sad and lonely, and allow myself to not be, quote unquote, the best griever in the room, because my ego, of course, wanted me to do that for a while, which is like really sad.
I mean, your strength with this is remarkable, I got to tell you.
Well, thank you.
I don't think I could stay as strong as you if something had happened to one of my
You know thoughts. What I attribute it to, though? I attribute it to falling apart completely, because I fought.
Did you hit the bottom emotionally?
Yes. I don't mean to say that I was like, you know, Susie, rah-rah, let's go grief the whole time. I was in fetal position sucking my thumb plenty during the first 3 years. And the second and third year were worse than the first. And they say that's a common experience when you lose kids, because in the first year, you're just sort of in shock. Second year, it sinks in. Third year, you really get it, right? But you have to go deep into the experience. I found I had to really lose myself in that grief, or I was never going to get over it. And I had to cry every time I wanted to cry. And I found myself crying at dinner with friends, you know? And I was always so embarrassed, and they'd be like, just cry. They were such...
Yeah, they got it. They understood.
They did. And that's the other thing I want to say to your caller. People understand far more than you think they will.
Grief is something else. Let's go to Nancy in Minnesota. Welcome to the program. Hi, Nance.
Hello, George and Susan.
Hi.
I wanted to say something to you, George. I have the same birthday. I believe I have the same birthday and the same year as you do.
Well, there we are.
So, Susan, I'm a person who, I just lost my sister in August. My mother is about to take her last breath.
Mm-hmm.
I don't agree with medicine. I've had a medical fight going on and other issues. And it's like I'm buried in. At the same time, then I was caretaker of two people being disabled myself for years. So when this happened to me, I came to a point where I did 24 hours and I couldn't move anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, my mother went elsewhere, had to go elsewhere, and we couldn't receive care in our county either. Mm-hmm. Well, now I'm to the point where I'm asking for help. I've asked for help for 6 months. I'm not getting any. Mm. I've knocked on the doors of churches, of social services, of whatever. I haven't got it. At the same time that this is going on, I lost my driver's license because I'm blind in one eye, and something's going on with my other eye. So, but in the meantime, I've read almost a book a day since May.
That's fantastic.
And I hear every word you're saying. And in that, I found some messages for me. I'm sitting here, in one sense, screaming for help. In the other sense, I'm frozen.
Mm-hmm.
I am absolutely frozen.
Mm.
My struggle, though I didn't realize it for a long time, was between science and God.
Who won out?
God.
Well, that's good.
That's going to help you. That's going to help you right there. Surrender to whatever.
Are you very spiritual, Suzanne? You must be.
Well, I am, but I'm not a religious person. I am a person who believes in sort of the divine order of our life. Nancy's describing such tough, tough circumstances. And yet, if we can find a way for all of it to make sense, we can find our way to a place of peace. Because really, all we can go for in this life is finding that place of peace. We can't always change the circumstances. You know, we can't change the suffering. We can't change the story. I can never bring Teal back to life. But can I find peace? That's the question. And it's really about the embrace of what's going on and looking at an understanding that we got to have the courage to face it.
Absolutely. Text and tweets. Tom, what do you have for Suzanne?
This one in from Dina in Alta Loma, California. Curious, what advice would Teal give you if you were on the fence and having trouble making a major life decision?
Well, that's an interesting question.
Oh, well, I got a good one for you. She had something in her little magic notebook that I loved, and it said, be present and make choices by listening to your body. To do this, go lie on your bed and put your hands on your heart and put the question out there. You will be guided.
By doing so?
Yeah, just holding yourself, you know, putting your hand on your chest or on your belly and just saying, what is it? What am I supposed to do? And you got to get still. You got to get still. Now, I don't know if people are meditators who are listening, and I have been a huge meditation resistor, huge, the biggest. But when you just settle down, even for 5 minutes a day, and you just allow yourself to sit quietly and try to quiet your thoughts and empty your thoughts, just breathe, just count your breaths, you will come back to a quieter place, and you can hear yourself think. You can get that answer from, of all places, your body.
This is the work that you've been doing over the last several years has probably been marvelous for you.
It feels like I have been reborn in some basic way. You know, what I would chalk it up to is finally taking really good care of myself and slowing down. And I'm really happy. That's the crazy thing. Here I am without my daughter. My son lives on the other side of the country, so we speak pretty often. We don't get to see each other much. But I'm happy. And I'm happy because I feel like I went with the program that was handed to me, and I didn't fight it. You know, it's crazy because when Teal was in the hospital that very first night, and I was looking at her, and there was a nurse, attending nurse in the ER with her, I put my hands on her feet, and I just looked at her, and the nurse said, this must be so hard for you, not knowing if she's going to regain consciousness. And I said, you know, life has changed. I don't know, the words just came pouring out of my mouth. I don't even know how I knew that. But that's the truth. Life is change.
It sure
and we
is.
Cannot fight that.
Let's go to our friend Barry in Rock Hill, South Carolina. Hello there, Mr. Bear.
Hello there, George, once again, and what a dynamite show. And Suzanne, you are some kind of delightful woman to listen to. I am carried away by your story, and I've got to ask you quickly, was your daughter's name spelled T-E-A-L?
She was, Barry, and thank you so much for your support, yes.
Listen, your story is very similar to mine and my dad. George knows my daddy's pancreatic cancer and early death. But anyway, what I want to do is tell you a beautiful quick story. I'm a biologist, and have you ever heard of a little duck called a teal?
Yes, I've seen little teal ducks with a small head. Yes.
Listen, I'm telling you, they are absolutely gorgeous. A green-winged teal and the blue-winged teal.
Oh, beautiful.
And that reminds me of your daughter because I can see her soul and her body flying through the universe, just bringing love and peace to everybody she comes in contact with.
Well, you are a dear. Thank you so much. It is really beautiful. I so appreciate that. And may you see a small teal duck very soon.
The symbolism's amazing sometimes, isn't it?
Yeah, right.
Does she give you any other signs to tell you she's there, or does she just pop up in your voice?
You know, I'll tell you, there's been all kinds of funny things. I had an encounter with a woman who was a friend of mine. I'd gone up to Hot Springs here in Northern California to have a little rest, and I had been told to look out. I had been to, you know, I go to lots of mediums, check out whether anything's on, you know, anything's on that I need to know about, right? And this one medium said to me, well, I think there's a book that a friend of yours is going to recommend to you. And Teal is going to put her in your path. So I go up to this hot spring, and I run into my friend Rose, and she starts telling me about the Anita Morjani book, a name now that I've forgotten. It's a fantastic book about how she recovered from cancer. And as she's talking to me, I look down on the ground, and there was one of the guitar picks that Teal used to use lying on the ground.
Ha. Huh. How about
weird,
that?
Right?
That is strange. How does this happen, right?
I'll tell you another one if you want a quickie. The guy, now she had a housemate when the night she collapsed. She locked herself in a bathroom because she thought she was going to have a seizure, and she didn't want her new housemate to know that she was epileptic. This was not a cool thing, but she did this. So she collapsed in the bathtub and left the lights on and the doors locked, and she was unconscious.
Oh, jeez.
He came to use the bathroom. He had to jimmy the door and get her out of there and call the paramedics, and they revived her heart. But that is the circumstances under which she was found. So that fellow was very traumatized by that experience, and he went off to his favorite little lakeside cabin to drink a few beers with some friends and play Scrabble. And that night, they all sat down to play. This was maybe a week or two after her death. He pulled the letters out and put them on the Scrabble board, T-E-A-L.
I love it. Synchronicity at its best, Suzanne. We're going to come back and take final phone calls in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. On our next Coast to Coast program, we're going to talk a little bit about artificial intelligence and then the spirit guides that we all have. Looking forward to that. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, Suzanne Falter with us. Suzanne's website is her name, SuzanneFalter.com, linked up at CoastToCoastAM.com. What's your next project, Suzanne?
Well, I'm glad you asked. I am actually writing a memoir about my experiences with the family who received Teal's heart and kidney.
That would be a great story. That might even be a movie.
It's a pretty amazing story because Debbie also has been visited by Teal. Debbie is the mom of the woman who got Teal's heart and kidney. I don't know. That whole experience was just been so surreal and so profound. And this is something we all share. Everybody's got a body. everybody's got these organs that need to be, you know, swapped and donated and whatever. And it is really extraordinary how many people can save lives. And yet, you know, there are something, oh, I don't know, there's more than 100,000 people, 170,000 plus people waiting for organ transplants
every year.
Oh, my God.
The list is unbelievable.
And fewer than 12,000 receive them.
Soon they'll be able to make them with stem cells.
Well, I speak at these conferences for transplantation professionals, right? And there was a woman doing a talk, I kid you not, about, I'm sorry, 3D printing kidneys.
Yeah, that's bizarre. I still don't get those 3D printers, how they work so fast.
Yeah, I don't either. That's a little bit of serious magic there, that's for sure.
Let's go to the phones. First-time caller Sam's with us in Kitesville, Missouri. Hi, Sam. Go ahead. Sam? Well, I'm going to have to let you go, Sam. We got to be quick. Let's go to Tom in Virginia, east of the Rockies. Hey, Tom, go ahead.
Hi, good morning, George.
Morning.
Long-time listener. I relocated here from New Jersey last June. And this January 10th, my fiancé, who we were supposed to be married Martin Luther King Day, died of stage 4 pancreas and liver cancer.
Oh, God. So sorry.
And I'm sorry. I just can't seem to get my emotions together. I'm always crying.
Oh.
I feel so helpless because I was a fireman for 30 years. And there was nothing I could do to help her. And I feel totally, totally helpless. And I just need to know where I can go or what I can do. You know, I heard you say about the groups and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I really don't know anybody down here. So I'm going to do, like you said, reach out.
It's critical.
Right now, I'm trying to settle my thinking and my heart.
Yeah.
And I'll listen off the air, okay?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, Tom, thank you for calling. Thank you so much. And what I want to say is hospices offer these groups. If you go to any hospice, even if your loved one was not cared for in a hospice, they have groups. I even had one-on-one therapy for free from a hospice after Teal died. So that would be a place you can look. And I really wish you well with that. You're in the right place doing the right thing, even though it seems excruciatingly hard.
Even though the loss is tremendous, Suzanne, you must feel exhilarated to know that she lives forever.
She does live forever. It's my ability to talk about her and have conversations like this are really justifying this early loss. You know, I mean, for somebody else, it might be that they planted a beautiful garden. You know, a relative had a garden planted for them. And every time someone walks in that garden, they're going to remember who that person was, or they're going to at least hear of it, the name of the garden, right? It's like whatever
Absolutely.
It is, there's something we can leave behind. We're not just forgotten.
Let's go to Joe in Boston, Mass. Hey, Joseph, go ahead.
Good morning, George. Good morning, Suzanne.
Good morning,
Joe. I'm also visually impaired. I have a comment and then a couple quick questions. Thanks, Tom, for putting me on. I understand what Nancy's gone through. I've gone through something similar. I was told by one medium if I die or when I die, I will be a healer. I'll be an empath on the other side. Do you help people off the air? I don't do websites much. I'm visually impaired.
Mm-hmm.
Low on money. Family dumped me off and parents are gone, and they apologize. My father did. My mother didn't. But is there any way you could heal me? And I wish we could help that fireman. I also have a friend that has proctitis, and next time, Dr. What's his name? Wallach is on.
Doc Wallach. Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to call him because this guy was not told this by his doctor, and it damages the bowel and everything. But is there any way you could help me, Susan? I could give Tommy my number. He'd be gracious to give it to you. I'd really appreciate it.
Oh, well, you're very dear. I don't actually do that work with people.
You don't do readings or things.
Yeah,
like
I'm not that kind of a healer. I'm a healer who works through speaking to groups and writing and my own podcast.
What do you recommend that he does?
Pardon me?
What do you recommend that he does?
I think the best way for you to handle this is just to go into your own guidance and ask for help. And I'm telling you, these healing groups are the way to go. There are many, many kinds of groups out there. There's 12-step recovery.
How do you find them?
There's grief groups. You go in and Google groups.
Well, he's not web savvy.
Oh, yes, right. Thank you for reminding
me. Maybe somebody could do it for him.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely. I also know that there are libraries for the blind that have all kinds of recordings, and I know that the audiobook of my self-care book, which has quotes from Teal and so forth, it just has kind of a nice energy, that might be available through the audiobooks for the blind.
Last text and tweet for the night. Tom, what do you have for Suzanne?
This one in from Randy in Dallas, Texas. Do you think Teal feels your emotions as they change?
I would hope so, and I don't know the answer to that. It's a great question. What I feel is Teal is always present, always with me, and I notice all these subtle changes I go through, and I figure she's sort of driving the boat, you know? I'm just kind of watching and learning as I go. That's about the best I've got on that.
And how's the boat steering?
It seems to be remarkably steady, I have to say. The days of sort of overwork and drama and intensity are really over. I'm just kind of in flow here, and everything seems to be working out. Right. And I feel extraordinarily grateful for it, let me tell you.
Let's go west of the Rockies. Norma Jean's with us in California. Hello, Norma Jean.
Well, hello. I just want to tell you that Teal is right here with me because I see spirits a lot, and I've gone through the same thing as you, Susan, because I lost my son last year.
Oh.
And he was actually dead for 2 weeks, brain dead for 2 weeks before they found our family.
Oh, geez.
And we all went down and stood over him. He was brain dead for 2 weeks, and I communicated, or he communicated to me right there on his deathbed.
Wow.
And thanked all of us for being there. And he continued to communicate with me later as he helped me write his own memorial.
Yeah.
And I have written memorials with other spirits. But Teal got me through because I've been trying to get through for 5 years. So she is here, and she's listening, and she's just like giggling and laughing away.
That's
pretty much
like
so much because I'm an empath. I've seen spirits all my life. And I help people the most I can. I absolutely help people. If that man, if I could give Tommy my number, that man can call me because that's what I do. I help people. And I have to just mention my wonderful On the Faith Church, Inner Light Ministries. Inner Light Ministries, Deborah Johnson. She is as good as Martin Luther King, or she's going to be there. She speaks all over the world. You've got to listen to her program, Inner Light Ministries, Deborah Johnson. And thank you so much for, but I just want these audiences to know, yes, just because you don't believe in spirits, they are there and they are listening to you and they come to you if you want. My husband came to me 3 or 4 years after he died. I saw him all the time. He finally said, I'm not coming to see you anymore because you have to move on. Mm-hmm. And he let me go as he said he would before he died. He said, we want each other to live a life with another partner, not to be alone. Yeah. And after my husband stopped communicating with me, I found another wonderful partner, John. And anyway, what my life seems to be, and another man I met shortly after, before John, I brought them to my church before they died because they needed to be with God and to know God better. And I was so grateful that I was able to know them. So my thing in life, besides helping people as much as I can with what knowledge I have, is that I really feel that I am here to help people, to help them grow and just to help them find God before they pass over.
All right, Norma Jean, I tell you what, we're going to have you give your number to Tom, and whenever Joe checks back in, it will share the number. That's something you want to do. Great listeners, Suzanne. Huh?
Yeah, such a beautiful community.
So much empathy.
Great.
Truly
great,
so much
George,
empathy.
Great.
We've got Oscar in Fort Worth, Texas. Welcome to the show. Hi, Oscar.
Hey, good morning, George and Susanna. Thanks for taking the call here.
Absolutely.
Hi, Oscar.
Yeah, it's my first time calling here. I caught the tail end of your conversation here at work about loneliness, and that's kind of been my issue for the past 15 years. And I seem to be using painkillers and opiates as a crutch to deal with that loneliness.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been trying everything, you know, to get off of the drugs for the longest time, but I keep finding myself coming back to it, you know. And loneliness seems to be part of a big issue in that. I guess, what are your thoughts on that, Suzanne?
Okay,
well,
it would be smart to get off that stuff.
Yeah, it's critical for the preservation of your life, is what I'd say, and you know that. And we are sometimes really dominated and mastered by things that seem bigger than us. But in truth, we are bigger. We've just forgotten. We've leached our energy out. We've lost our way. And that addiction can be your healer. It really can. This is when, and I know, I hear you when you say you've tried to get off of them, and I can only imagine how hard that is. But there's a path through it. And it's just a matter of tuning in and trying to get grounded and trying to get some other kind of help, asking for help to find the help, asking for some sort of guidance. This is where I think the spirit guides or the spiritual or religious help is often really, really helpful, because here we are surrendered to this powerlessness that we hate to face, but we've got to find our way back to it. And I really feel you, and I just hope that you can prevail. Because on the other side of that, I believe you'll find a solution to your loneliness.
If Teal stops communicating with you, Suzanne, do you think maybe she's reincarnated?
Oh, it's such a good question. I wish I knew the answer to that. What I feel is she is always kind of burbling in the background, and even if I was to lose that communication, I've had so much, for Pete's sakes. I can't say if she's gone to another manifestation or what, but sure sounds plausible, right?
Okay, and Tommy will get a hold of you to get the copy of one of Teal's songs.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll play it on the first Sunday in March.
We'd love it.
Okay, as one of our bumper songs that you hear coming out of the breaks and things like that?
Yeah.
That's what we will do.
That's great.
Let's go to Michelle in Lake Tahoe, California. Welcome to the program. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
And so I missed the first half an hour of the segment, but so I don't know if you touched on this or not, but I lost my mom, and I was extremely, extremely close to her. And I just wanted to say it's so important. I don't know. I feel it's important to journal these synchronicities, journal these coincidences. I have 15 pages of beautiful things that are not just random. They're things that were put into my life as messages from my mom. And I think they're important because you can look back on them as the years go by, and you'll never forget them. And please keep me on your prayer chain, George, because
you got it.
I am a person with lab results of my kidneys are gone, and I show lab results of a dead person. And I just have faith in God because of my journey in the last 10 years after my mom passed away, and I am still going. They gave
Good
me a
you.
Year, 6 years ago, and I'm still here.
You don't please sound dead.
Believe.
Way to go. That's strength right there.
She doesn't sound dead at all, does
she? No.
Suzanne, give out your website and where people can get your books.
I'd be happy to share it. Suzanne Falter, S-U-Z-A-N-N-E, F like Frank, A-L-T, like Tom, ER.com. I actually have 4 free chapters for folks if they want to check it out and get a little taste of it.
They do that through your website?
Right on the homepage there, yep.
That's super.
SuzanneFalter.com.
Super, super, super. Would we have liked to have interviewed Teal, too?
George, I actually think you did.
We might have. We might have.
Yes, you would have. But she was a shy, kind of a very humble and modest person, as you might imagine.
Takes after her mother, right?
Pardon?
Takes after her mother, right?
Well, probably not.
What kind of little girl were you growing up?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Well, from what I understand, I never stopped moving. I was kind of running at top speed.
Always fidgety, huh?
Yeah, and I have a big, loud presence, you know, and I was often told to be quiet and kind of settle down and, oh, not so loud. Oh, there she goes again. You know, it was like that. But I was always creating. And I wrote my first novel when I was 10 years old. It was called The Chick from Fresno.
I love that. Suzanne, thanks for being on the program. You keep in touch with us, okay? I'm going to put you on hold.
Thank you so much, George. It's been a total delight.
We're going to get some more information from you so we could run Teal's bumper song first Sunday of March as one of our emerging artists. And you never know. You never know. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burrows, Tim Banal, George Knapp, and Ian Punnett, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.